Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us this morning, Lord, not only to serve one another and to serve one another with a heart of joy, but to, Lord, serve you, to bless you, Lord, that everything we do would be an act of worship to you. And we just give you this time. We ask, Holy Spirit, come, fill our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church this morning. Bless this time and be blessed. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We know that in the letters to the churches in Revelation, that the first church that the Lord addresses is that church that is in Ephesus. And it says to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works." And to all of the churches, he knows what's going on in the church. He knows the works. But we're going to see that he also knows the intention of the works, or the intention of the heart, where it's directed, what we have on our heart and our mind as we do that. He says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, that perseverance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And as we look at this, I certainly don't want to be a discouragement, and the Lord certainly doesn't want to discourage those who are in service here at Calvary Chapel, who are serving Him, serving God's people. But there is certainly going to always come into question, why are we serving? What is that service directed to? Are we getting our hearts and our minds on ourselves, or are we keeping the focus on the right thing? And we see here in verse 38 that it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha, who is she? Well, we know that she is the sister of Mary, and she's also the sister of Lazarus. And it says in John that this is a family, certainly, who loved Jesus. And in John 11:5, we're told, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus knew Martha, and Martha knew Jesus. In John's gospel is the account, remember, of the death of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. We're told that Jesus was given the word of the death of Lazarus, and he started discussing with the disciples. Remember that discussion? "Hey, let's go to Judea. You know, they have need of me there." And they started getting worried. "Well, isn't that where they wanted to kill you?" And they started saying, "I don't know if that's a great idea." And finally, Thomas said, "Hey, let's just all go with Jesus, and we'll all die together there with them." Remember that, old doubting Thomas, that great outlook? But Jesus had another reason for going there. And so as they drew near to Bethany, where Lazarus laid in the tomb, we find that Mary chooses to stay in the home as Martha goes out to greet Jesus as he nears their home. And so she goes out to meet Jesus, and we're told in the account in John chapter 11 that Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Martha always doing. Mary always seemed to be sitting. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you. And so we see here this picture that she knew her Lord. She knew Jesus. She certainly wasn't questioning, you know, who he was. But we see this in our story in Luke, and it's only found in the Gospel of Luke, that there is a distraction. Something happened that drew her attention away from who he was. Interestingly, as we go on in chapter 12 of John, it said, then 6 days before the Passover, in verse 1, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. They made Jesus a supper, and here we see the same thing again. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And Martha was given to service. She certainly had this gift for hospitality, preparing meals, cleaning, setting the table, organizing the seating arrangements, making sure everything was just right, especially when Jesus was in town. Everything was in its place and prepared. Martha was a doer, always busy about something we find in Scripture. She was constantly serving others. She would serve, let's maybe say, in the cafe ministry. Preparation for the potlucks and those that are in the kitchen, putting out food, cleaning the pots and pans. Maybe she would serve at memorial services or wedding and event preparation, cleaning the facility and making it presentable for the guests. She would be involved in the clothing ministry for sure. A lot of work to be done in preparation for that and afterward. There are men who set up tables and chairs, cleaning the building. They fix the lights, fix the parking lot, make sure the facilities are functioning properly. They would be the, we'll have Martins. I don't want to mess you guys up. Not Martha's. Many serving the body here in very tangible and observable ways. We're very grateful for those who are the Marthas and the Martins of this fellowship. They do important and necessary work for the body of Christ here. And she's had a sister, it says in verse 39, called Mary. What about Mary? In John's gospel, we see Mary had stayed behind at home while Martha went to greet Jesus. And as Martha served, Mary anointed Jesus' feet with very costly spikenard and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary is also a servant, and she is also serving the Lord. It's just in a different capacity. There are Marys here who are constantly in prayer, going and visiting people, sending encouraging letters, encouraging phone calls, encouraging emails, visiting people at hospitals. Those things that may not be seen but are very important to the work of Christ here in the body of believers. It would seem like maybe they're not doing anything or they don't care. But they're not doing those tangible things, the things that we can see actually happening and affecting us in a very tangible way. But no less important for sure. And we see here Mary serving the Lord, wiping his feet, anointing him. And Jesus would say, hey, she's just preparing me for my death. And that was why he had come. But she would certainly serve in the prayer ministry here and those things that are behind the scene. We have many women, many men who do those things, who have that heart of mercy that will sit down after services, and you'll see them sometimes in different areas of the sanctuary, praying and encouraging, lifting up, maybe even weeping with those who weep, encouraging a brother or sister in Christ. They serve in the nursery so mothers can be in service, or they drop by and visit somebody in hospitals and pray for them. The kind of service that may not be very visible to us, but is absolutely needful for the body of Christ here and for the church at large, because that kind of ministry goes outside the walls and touches so many other people. Christian, it is not the work or service that Jesus will bring into question here as we read this. We should all be serving the Lord and one another very diligently in whatever capacity we are called and according to whatever gift we have been giving. We should be in service. But we should never lose sight of the reason we serve. Mark 10:45, we're told, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus' own example was that one of service, not one of being served. He was not expecting anything in return. I'm going to set up this morning for us here at Calvary Chapel the standard for service. There is one criteria, only one, for serving the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel of Oakland County, and that criteria is joy. Will you serve the body with a joyful heart? Are you serving him and his people with joy? If joy is the product of your service, then you are serving with the proper perspective here. You are choosing the good part, and let me define true joy for us here this morning. The true definition of joy does not come from Webster. It's very simple. The J is for Jesus, the O is for others, and the Y is for you, in that order. And if you are serving in that order, then you will certainly serve with a joyful heart, because the focus and the perspective is in the right order in that place. When we start getting wrapped up in ourselves, that's when the problems start. That's when the frustrations happen, and we see that in Martha's life and in Martha's service here. If you're serving the body with the understanding of these descending priorities of true Christian service, then you will truly serve with the proper perspective, and the result will be joy, a rejoicing in all that is going on. Maybe you're here this morning and your service seems laborious today. Maybe you just don't feel like it. You ever been there? Just don't feel like it. It's just so hard. I'm doing so much. That joy seems elusive at times. Maybe you want to experience the joy of service again. Maybe the joy that you once experienced. Or what if you've never really served with joy or experienced the joy of serving the body? What do you do? Pastor, I don't even know what you're talking about. It just seems like work to me. But maybe your heart's changing this, and your heart's saying, "Lord, I want that this morning." That's my prayer. My heart's desire is to serve you and to serve others joyfully, with a joyful heart. I'm going to pull a Bob Coy on you. May I draw your attention to the second part of verse 39 again? May I draw your attention? Sorry, I wouldn't do that to Bob. So it says, "Who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." And I believe that the first thing that we need to take notice of here for joyful Christian service is that we need to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. It is imperative. This, Christian, is the catalyst for joyful Christian service. Quiet time with the Lord and hearing him through his word is imperative for God's children. And preparation for serving the Lord starts with seeking him for guidance, instruction, empowerment, encouragement. Quiet time. That's any time you can find. It doesn't have to be according to certain measurements that some whack job out there got supposedly from the Lord and will tell you how to build an outhouse in your room and call it a prayer closet. My prayer closet's my car. As long as the crazy people behind the other wheels aren't messing with me while I'm driving. But when everything is going smoothly and I have time, man, there's no better time to be alone with the Lord and just seeking Him and hearing from Him. And everybody might have their own place where they have that quiet time and can get alone with Him. And if you don't, you need to find something. You're going to need to find something and a time when you can do that. This morning is a time that we can be quiet, that we can sit at His feet, and we can hear from His Word. And we should be seeking Him for that reason. Ministry should stop. Now, that doesn't mean those that are teaching the kids, but the other things. I mean, our ushers will be at the door at a certain time. That stops, and it's time to come in and to sit at the Lord's feet and to hear from His Word. That should be the expectation of every Christian that takes their time out on a Sunday morning to come in fellowship, is to be here to hear from the Lord, to sit at His feet. That should be your expectation this morning. And so we have that time where we can be guided and instructed. We all need a time to turn off the busyness and the business and spend time with the Lord. And what you do, listen, with the Lord is far more important than what you do for Him. He wants that time alone with you. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to hear your heart. He wants that relationship, and that's what Christianity really is all about. It's not a religion. It's a time that we spend with our Lord, who is very real. And so we see here that first we need in order to serve with a joyful Christian heart, to be in joyful Christian service, it starts with being at Jesus' feet and hearing His Word. But notice now, Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted means encumbered, to drag around, to distract with care. Her cares were on other things. Her focus was on the work, all the things that just had to be done. You ever been like that? These just have to get done. I really want to go to church. I really want to spend some time. I'd love to go to that Bible study. I'd love to go have some fellowship with my brother or my sister in the Lord. I'd love to do this thing. It will really be beneficial to me. I know that I'm going to be blessed if I do it. But all these things, they just have to. You ever feel that way during the week? They have to get done. Here's one thing that I learned, and I loved it when I was a little bit younger, when I was back in California, when I really first started getting into the Word of God. Unfortunately, I fell somewhere in between for a while, did the prodigal thing, but man, I remember I'd be driving down the road and somebody need help, and the Spirit would say, if you stop, you don't have to worry about the appointment that you got going right now. Just go minister to these people and I'll take care of the appointment. And every time you just lay those things out on the side, the things that you had to get to, the things that you just knew had to be done, and you gave time to the Lord in obedience, He always made up for it. The appointment would get moved, the appointment got canceled. It always happened. And all those things that we just think, they just have to be done before I can go and have time with the Lord and give my time to the Lord and live in obedience to the Lord. It gets in the way. But I found that God always makes up for that time that we give Him. You see, the Christian work is ever present. There is absolutely work to be done. There's work to be done here. There are needs that need to be fulfilled, both physically and spiritually, mentally, for one another, for the property and the building that the Lord has given us, in ministering to one another through the different ministries. We are commanded to be doers, but that commandment is always a result of first being a what? A hearer. And if you're a doer without first being a hearer, then you are just a doer who is doing for the sake of doing. A busybody, and ultimately the focus is going to be on the, hey, look what I'm doing. And then the frustration is going to come when the recognition doesn't come and the people aren't looking at what you're doing. There is tangible work to be done. We have families that need our attention, our ministries, our workplace, the home. And the danger is we become consumed or encumbered by the work which is very, very tangible. We are doing it and we lose our connection with the Lord, who we cannot touch, who is always present with us. And we get encumbered, our focus gets taken away, distracted by those things that we need to do that are very tangible, because that's kind of how we operate as human beings, isn't it? And we forget that the Lord is ever present with us, and that needs to be our source and our focus. Jesus was there with Martha, and she was distracted by all the things that Martha needed to be done. And some of you are, I'm a Martha, and I know I'm here, you know. So how many of you are Marthas? Yep. And those of you that weren't honest, the Lord knows when he's speaking to you. But we get caught up in all these things that have to be done, and we just can't put them down to take some time with the Lord, and that's always a mistake. But the second observation for joyful Christian service, we see, and it says, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Let me ask you something. Who are your eyes on when you serve him? When you serve, are you scanning the area to see what everybody else is doing? Or maybe what they're not doing? Because that's usually what gets at us first, right? I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and so-and-so should be doing this and so-and-so should be doing that. And it starts wearing at us. It starts distracting us from the service that we're doing. Sadly, Martha, look, approached Jesus. She was heading in the right direction, wasn't she? But she missed the target, and that is where her focus should have remained. Yet she got sidetracked. It may well be that Martha desired to be at Jesus' feet also with Mary. But all the other things needed to get done first. And Mary wasn't helping. You ever felt like that? When in service to the Lord, in the ministry here at the church, whatever, or at home, whatever you might be involved in, and the Marys just aren't helping. First of all, you need to realize that Mary may very well be serving the Lord in another capacity. But we will always notice the Marys that don't seem to be picking up the slack or helping carry the load. It's just our human nature, isn't it? We need to be aware that there is other things going on. But notice, Mary had been helping, but left Martha to sit at Jesus' feet. She wasn't distracted by the busy goings on. She realized that, you know what? This is a special time, and I'm going to take advantage of it. Those things will be taken care of when they need to. But what we need to understand, Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, this is a very precious scripture to me, because as I was giving the Lord every reason why I wasn't supposed to be in leadership and be called to be an elder and everything else, and you know, gave God every excuse I possibly could, I'm not worthy, I can't believe that you'd want a drunk, you know, guy that was a drunk to be in leadership, and you know, I messed this up and I messed that up. You know the excuses, right? We've all given him the excuses for that. You know, what are people going to think? They aren't even going to believe this. I can't believe it. They're not going to believe this. And very clearly, probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, as I'm laying there wrestling with the Lord, he gives me this scripture, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's our focus. As soon as you start questioning what others are doing or not doing, or think you know what they should be doing, am I hitting everything? Maybe, and I was listening to it too, because I do it. Your service is no longer to the Lord. Martha approached Jesus. She was approaching Jesus, and that's all she needed to do, wasn't it? And went to work on Mary. You see that? She approached Jesus from the work, and instead of just sitting at his feet and hearing from him, she went to work on Mary. Have you ever done that? Gone to the Lord and complained about somebody else? Or, in essence, complained about somebody else as you told the Lord all the things you were doing, you know? I can tell you that some have come to me and complained about others. And if you want to do that, this is the response you're going to get from me. Can you serve the body with joy? Can you serve the body with joy? Because if you can't, then maybe you ought not to serve this morning. You need to go into the service and sit down at his feet and hear from him for a while so that you can get re-energized and refocused on what's important. Can you serve the body with joy? I hope that people come in here and at least recognize this. You know what? The pastor doesn't know what he's, you know, he's clueless. You know, I'll stick to the word of God so that you can take that before the Lord. But, you know, he's not very entertaining. You know, I didn't like the music lineup this morning. But, man, those people sure are joyful. Those people sure are joyful. 100 people ask me when I'm coming through the door, they welcome me. Is there anything we can get for you? Have you ever been here before? Where are you visiting from? You know, if they leave and they see the joy of the Lord in us, man, we're heading in the right direction. We're doing the right thing. We're in the right place, serving the Lord with joy. But some have come to me to complain. Hey, listen, I have some complaints too. You want to hear them? Because you may be a part, no, I'm just kidding. But I have complaints. And what I've realized is my complaints are just nothing more than undue expectations on others. I know that they are even misplaced. There are even misplaced expectations on myself. And most of you know what I'm talking about. We've all been in Mary's place, haven't we, people? People questioning whether or not we're serving, whether we're committed to the Lord. You know, hey, I don't even know if that guy's a believer. But we've all been in that place, in Mary's place, where there have been misplaced expectations being placed on us. It's hard, isn't it? And let's just be silent for a minute. Shh, calm the heart, calm the mind. Can you hear him? The Lord saying, Bill, you're worried and troubled about many things, and you can put your own name in there because things are racing through our minds right now. And he says, Bill, you're worried and troubled about many things. Here's the third observation for joyful Christian service. Keep your eyes on what God has called you to follow him. John chapter 21, great story. He had just talked to Peter. Do you love me? Oh, you know I love you, Lord. Oh, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Then tend to my sheep. And he goes through this, and at the end he says in verse 18 of chapter 21, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish, speaking of how he would be martyred, really, give his life for what he believed. Peter, the one that denied him and ran away and did all those things, will one day stand up for what he believed, will stand upon the name of Jesus Christ and face death because of it. And Jesus tells him about that. But he has the same reaction most of us do, and what Martha, you know, the Marthas do when we get all caught up in what everybody else is doing and what everybody else isn't doing. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And Peter, turning around, saw the disciple who, and this is Paul, remember, this is John writing about, and you know, Peter turned around and saw me, the one that Jesus loves. They're an interesting group of characters. I can't wait to meet some of them, you know. You know, Peter turned around and saw me leaning on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? In other words, how is he going to die? You know, am I the only one? What about everybody else? Gets his eyes on everything else. And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And we start getting our, you know, they even got their eyes on everybody else, man. We need to hear what the Lord has called us to, and then we need to do it. And we need to do it from the starting point where we're at his feet and we're in his word, because that is what is going to give us the energy and the direction that we need. And when we lose that focus and start getting our eyes everywhere else, there is discord and there is frustration. We went through Psalm 37 this weekend, and it talks about not fretting what's going on, especially the evildoers, but it ends, it says, do not fret, it only causes harm. When we're worried about those things that we ought not to worry about, it only causes harm. But there's some good encouragement in Psalm 37, and it says, trust in the Lord and do good. This is really, and this goes along with service, serving one another and serving the Lord. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And it certainly was talking to the children of Israel who were given the land of promise, and they were to keep that and not allow anybody else. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and we've talked about this, and we talk about it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't say, delight yourself in the Lord so he gives you the desires of your heart, because that's the way most people interpret that, and then they start rubbing the magic lamp and saying, this is the desire of my heart, Lord, and I'm delighting myself in you, and I'm delighting myself in you, and I'm polishing the lamp and everything else, and they think it's so that God will give them the desires of your heart. Here's the thing. Delight yourself in the Lord, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself aligning with what the Lord desires for you. It's just going to draw you closer to the Lord. But delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And it says, roll your way. Roll those things off of the burdens, the cares, the things, the busyness, and the weight that you're carrying. And just roll it off onto him. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then we're to not fret, because it only causes us harm. And really, when we fret and we fret about those things and start worrying about the troubles, you know, or get worried about and get troubled about many things that we ought not to do, it hurts the body of Christ and it hurts one another, and we start rubbing off on one another when we should be serving each other joyfully. It's fun to hang out with joyful people, isn't it? And so I guess sometimes it's not real fun to hang out with me, right, hon? I try, and I want to be one of those joyful people. So we see that Jesus had said to her, you know, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, and we all get worried about many things. Sometimes we just need to stop and just hear his voice so that he might say, Bill, Bill, you know what? I don't even know why you're worrying about that, because I'm not so worried about that. So why don't you go and just serve the people with joy? Why don't you just serve me and glorify me? And we need to hear that. But one thing is needed, it says in verse 42. There's one thing needed. The final observation to joyful Christian service. One thing is needed. Christian, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And you know what I'm talking about. It says, one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. There's work and there's a time for work, but there is also a time for waiting. You understand that? There is a time for work and there is also a time. See, that's what Mary was doing. She was waiting. And we've talked about this before. A lot of people think when it says to wait upon the Lord, that means go sit in a chair, wait for the dollars to fall from the money tree, wait for the phone call to come from the super duper job that we've always wanted. You know what I'm saying? And we just sit there and we wait and do nothing. Waiting has nothing to do with doing nothing. Waiting has everything to do with action. And we had talked about this before. I liken it to when you go and you get a meal. Who comes to your table? A waiter or a waitress. And they're waiting on you. And they're serving you. Right? And in that, as we wait on the Lord, and we remember that it's active, not sitting around, to wait on the Lord requires seeking and asking and knocking. Don't wait and do nothing. You see, waiting on the Lord is when the batteries get recharged. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not become weary, and walk and not become tired. It's a time to renew. It's a time to draw close to the Lord. It's a time to get our marching orders. It's when we get our plans properly set, when we make our plans and we find the direction that He wants us to go, that's what waiting on Him is. It's sitting at His feet and it's hearing His word. It's hearing His teaching, listening for that still small voice. We need that time, Christian. And maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe you've been hiding from something that the Lord's put on your heart or has been nudging you towards this morning. Maybe you're supposed to be serving here and you're not. And I hope that the Holy Spirit is screaming loudly right now. Or maybe you're spinning your wheels. Maybe you got your eyes on the wrong thing and He's speaking to your heart and He's getting you refocused, that the main thing becomes the main thing. Mary chose that good part, the essential service, and that was waiting on Him. So if you've been waiting and doing nothing, you need to seek forgiveness and you need to start waiting on Him and doing something. And as you do, you'll find that the prayer or whatever it is you're looking for will be answered. Martha chose the work. And it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying don't work, don't be busy, don't be doers. You know, don't be a legalist, though, and think that you're going to work your way to heaven and that you have no need of what Jesus has done for you. But don't just get busy in the work for the sake of doing the work. The work is good, but it is not the best. It's not the best. And we can choose what we think is good, or maybe even what's better, and we can miss what's best. And what we see in Martha are these truths that we need, and I want you to take this out of this morning. Listen, action without adoration is going to lead to aggravation. Action without adoration is going to lead to aggravation because we're going to get our focus on the wrong thing. We need time where we give our heart and our mind to Jesus Christ. And if you're not finding that time, you're going to be aggravated. And guess what? You're going to become an aggravation. I have been there more often than probably people at home or even here would like. But even for me, I need that time. I thank God, you know what? I mean, I'm trying even more so to spend that time and really seeking Him and turning off, you know, some of the radio stations that are telling me all the knucklehead things that the country's doing and our government's doing and stuff. But turn it off. I need to spend more time with the Lord because that's just going to make me an aggravation too, as I get aggravated. But it's really seeking Him. So first, we need to know there's a time for work, there's a time for waiting. Secondly, action without adoration will lead to aggravation. You need to get your eyes on Jesus, Christian. Sit at His feet, hear His word. Thirdly, because the work is never to be a replacement for the worship. Do you understand that? The work is only a form or an act of our worship. It's a very small microcosm, a very small part of worship. You see, everything we do, everything we think is to be an act of worship to the Lord. Praise in song, and if you can't sing, just opening and uttering, Lord, thank you so much. You're so awesome that you've done these things. Praise is a form of worship. Lifting our hands, closing our eyes, getting on our knees, whatever the posture is that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart is just a form of worship. But it's all worship, and the work is never, ever to take the place of active worship in our lives. But when the work becomes our only observance of worship, we are missing the opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And listen, today the Lord is looking all over the place and He's looking for people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth and with all of their being. To love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That's what He desires. to praise Jesus, to serve Jesus, to wait on Jesus, to bless Jesus, to hear from Jesus, to call upon Jesus. If that's the focus of your service in your life, listen, you will serve him with joy. And you will serve his body with joy. And this will be a place that people will love to come. Because there's not a bunch of Eeyores sitting around. The frozen chosen. Man, we need to be joyful people. John 15, 11, or it might be 41. It might be 11. Put up John 15, 11. I'll tell you if I put the right. Yes, I did write correctly. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. What was his joy? Does anybody know what his joy was? Us. You and me. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, check this out, he considered this the joy, to go and die for you and for me, sinners. To be that in place of the propitiation, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, to take a beating beyond recognition so that we might have eternal life. That was the joy, and that joy he wants in us. That was his service to us. It was absolutely sacrificial. There was no strings attached. He paid the whole thing, the whole price, and gave himself so that we might have a hope. That was the joy that was set before him, the joy that he wanted in us, and that is how we should be serving one another here and serving him as we do. Despising the shame, and has sat down. He endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and it is finished. What an accomplishment. What an accomplishment. That should get us excited. That should make us happy. That should really give us a point to start from if we want to start serving as joyful Christians. We're always going to have that tendency to get sidetracked like Martha did. Where we get caught up in the busyness and we start, well, I know I should go to this, or I know I should go have fellowship. Have you ever, I learned this lesson a long time ago when I made Wednesday nights non-negotiable for my family, and I actually wasn't a family yet, for Beth and I, when I started getting back into fellowship and seeking the Lord. I said, man, Wednesday night is non-negotiable. I'm sitting at home at, I have to get out of here by 5:45, 6 o'clock to get to Royal Oak. I said, oh man, you know, I could just stay home tonight. And the Lord, you know, and the Lord would understand. But I'd get in the car and I'd go. As tired as I was, or as much as I was fighting it, and every time I went, the Lord more than blessed me. I was, you know, excited that I went. And those times that I didn't, man, you know, and God is good. I don't want to be legalistic about being at church, you know, because that's really not too relevant to this culture today or whatever, you know, the arguments are. Never. He never let me down. He never let me down. And it's so important that we set those priorities and that we serve him with that heart, because we can get caught up in the busyness of life, the busyness of service, and we can miss all that he has for us. And I guess it's time to be quiet because there's some clicking going on as I go. But listen, here's so neat. You know what? That joy was his strength that took him to the cross. We're told that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And I love that. And some people go, huh? Well, here, that was his strength, his love for us, his commitment to us. That should be our strength, is our commitment certainly to him, and our commitment to one another, serving one another with the joy of the Lord, not getting caught up in the busyness, not getting distracted by many things. Let's keep the main thing, and serve him with joy, so that when people come in here, man, they just think that we're the goofiest, happiest people, and we can say it's not happiness, because happiness is circumstantial, but the joy of the Lord's our strength, man. Joy, we can have joy no matter what the circumstances, and serve one another with that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for Martha and Mary. And Lord, we know Martha loved you and we know Mary loved you. And Lord, I pray that you would give us joyful hearts to serve one another, to serve you here with the calling that you have put on each one of us and according to the gifts that you have gifted us with. Lord, we desire to serve you. Lord, and help us to keep our eyes off of one another, what others are doing or not doing, and to keep our eyes and our focus on you. Lord, that when we approach you, that we approach you not with complaints, but that we approach you and we just sit at your feet to hear from you, to hear your word. Lord, to worship you, to be renewed and strengthened by you. Lord, a body of believers that truly is seeking hard after you. Lord, that we be men and women whose desire, the desire of our heart, is to know you more, to draw closer to you, to know what you desire for us, Lord. And then, Lord, to be a joy and an encouragement in other people's lives. And if there's anybody here this morning and they just... If you maybe you just have never felt that joy inexpressible, no matter what's going on. Maybe it's in service and you just got wearied, and that's you, and you want me to pray for you. I want you to experience joy inexpressible, that joy that he has offered to you, that your joy may be made full. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Well, then we should all, if there's a grump in here today, then the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would just lift them up by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the truth of your word, by your very presence here. Lord, if there's anybody here who does not know you and you're impressing upon their heart, Lord, that you died for them because they were the joy that was set before you, that you gave your life. I pray, Lord, that you would quicken their hearts, that their spirit, Lord, that you would open their hearts and that your spirit would minister to them, that today would be the day of salvation. If there's anybody here that would like to receive, to pray, to know that Jesus Christ is in you and has died for you and that you have a hope of eternity with him, if that's you and you want us to pray for that and pray with you, raise your hand. But I don't want you to leave unless you know that you're saved and that you're bound for heaven, that you're his child. Is there anybody here this morning? The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter. I will not faint. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, be glorified and be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Would you stand, please?